discussing earlier, Shiurim, the focus that they tell science and Golden and Rishonim regarding the Makar of Malachi Shabbos, whether it stems from Bina Mishkan or Avodas HaKarbanos. This Machlokis is especially relevant when it comes to the Malacha of Dishan. Certainly both in terms of Samimanim, the need to thresh the herbs and the seeds used to extract the necessary dyes, as well as when it comes to Avodas HaKarbanos, certainly in order to have Menachos, in order to have Lechem HaPanim, Shtei HaLechem, certainly it's necessary to engage in Dishan. And therefore, of course, it can be found both in Avodas HaKarbanos as well as in Binyan HaMishkan. But the Eglei Tal does comment twice in Lach of Dash that there should be important nafkaminas la'alafa based on the two different makaras. The first piece in Eglei Tal is found in the Lach of Dash in Sivkot Niyud Zayin Osi Aleph, where Eglei Tal discusses Schita Zesim Va'anavim, what we refer to at the very beginning of the Zman. If a person extracts Yayin or Shemen Zesim and Anavim, that is considered to be a malacha daraisa. This is explicit in the sugya in the end of the Masechta, and Dav Kuf Mem Gimel Beis. Also, the sugya in Dav Kuf Mem Heyam and Aleph, Schita Zesim Va'anavim is forbidden midaraisa. Eglei Tal, however, comments this is somewhat unclear as to whether this is an av malacha or whether this is a tolda. Is this part of disha or is this only considered to be a tolda of disha? In order to label it as an av, it must be something which is half the habit of Mishkan Chashiva. And Eglei Tal writes, that should split the smachlokes, according to the view of Rav Vaigel, that one can learn from not only Binyan HaMishkan, but even Avodas HaKarbanos. In such a sense, certainly, Schita Zesim Va'anavim was found in Avodas HaKarbanos. Any avoda that required Yayin or required Shemen, certainly that was found in Mishkan, and therefore, that form of Schita is considered to be an av malacha. According to the Shita of Rashi, that is not true. In Binyan HaMishkan, you do not find Schita Zesim Va'anavim. The most you could argue is that's considered to be a Toda, and therefore, true, the Gemara tells us explicitly that that is forbidden Midaraisa, but according to Rashi Shita, it is only considered to be a Toda. And furthermore, the Gemara later on Daf Kuf Chavches, we'll have to discuss at length, Molalin Melilos, here perhaps even a more critical Machlokes, rubbing the pods in order to remove, it seems, is that considered to be forbidden midaraisa, or is that only forbidden midrabanan? Eglei Tal later in Dosh and Sivkot Nechav Ches Osir Aleph quotes the Machlokes Gaonim and Rishonim. He quotes the Shita of the Aruch in the name of Gaon, that this is a malacha daraisa. However, the Rambam is explicit in Perek Chapalaf of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yates that Molin Melilos is only forbidden midrabanan. Eglei Tal writes that this also fits into the earlier Machlokes. If you assume as the Shita Sagaonim that one is able to glean from Avodas HaKarbanos, so Molin Melilos was found in Avodas HaKarbanos. Eglei Tal writes, when it comes to the Mincha Saomer, part of what was done in that process of threshing was rubbing the pods in order to remove its grain, its seed, and therefore one could argue that even that instance, Molin Melilos was found in the Mishkan itself. If you assume, however, it's limited to Binyan HaMishkan, certainly Molin Melilos was not found at all, and perhaps one could even argue that Molin Melilos is not considered to be the normal Derech Disha, it is Klachariyad, and therefore it is only forbidden Midrabana. Those are the two Ha'aras that Leihav has in those two places regarding the Makor of Disha. One regarding whether an Av or a Toda, Schisa Zeisim Va'anavim, or when it comes to Molin Melilos, the possibility as to whether this is a Malacha Daraisa, whether it's only forbidden Midrabana. Rabbeinu Chananel makes an important comment here on Daf Ayin Dalet Amar Aleph that Dish is considered to be a case of Mafarek Psolis Mechuberes Ba'ochel Umechinaso Lebrera. Dish is considered to be the stage which precedes the Malach of Borer. Prior to Disha, the two minim, the Ochel Psolis or the Ochel Mashka, are Mechuberin Zebeze. They're bound. La'achar Disha, they are still Me'uravin Zebeze, but they are not Mechuberin Deyachat. Severing that bind of, for example, the kernel and its chaff, its other husk, that is the malacha of Disha. Once again, that is severed. Now, still, the two minim amuravim zebazeh, then you come on to Zor Rebora Marakeh in order to separate one
from the other, but prior to separation, simply breaking that piru, piru ka'ocho mi beis gidulo, that is the definition of the malacha of disha. So disha does not require at all extraction in the sense of removal of psoles, but rather simply the severance of that which grows, for example, the grain from its natural husk, its natural shell, or as we'll see, even from a natural attachment. As Rashi will explain when it comes to the case of tamarim, that there isn't necessarily an outer coating, an outer shell, as there is when it comes to grain, but rather even separating it from its natural attachment, the manner in which it is mechubar, in such an instance, that is considered to be the malacha of disha. The Gemara gives us an example of Alfayim Gimel Beis in the name of Rav Papa, that Haiman deshada pisa ledeklava asa tamrei. A person takes a clod of dirt, throws it against the dekel tree, causing the tamarim to fall. In that instance, Chayiv Shtayim, Rav Papa says, he is Chayiv Mishum Tolesh, and he is Chayiv Mishum Mefarim. Rav Ashi disagrees and says that's not true, because in these cases, ain't there a plishabakav? Ain't there a prikabakav? In principle, even Rav Ashi agrees that that should entail those two malachos. There should be a malacha of kotzer, which clearly is oker davar migidulo, that is tolesh, and also mefarek, that even above and beyond, separating it from the tree, there is something which is mechubar the tamarim, that is going to be severed as a result of it falling from the tree, haiman deshada pisa ledikla, and therefore one is chayir for that as well. Rashi explains the gears that we have in Rashi, dramasta mefarek, is considered to be in this instance a tolda of dash. Why? Because just as in a normal case, one is mefarek tfula mishiboleha, one severs that bond of the grain and its outer shell, its outer husk. Here also, mefarek hatmar min hamachbado shalom. In each one of the tamar, there is something which is referred to as the machbed. Moses writes a chiddush, name of Rabbeinu Shmuel, that this is considered to be an outer covering. There's an outer covering on top of the tamar that, in fact, is removed. The Shvisas of Shabbos, for example, questions, our tamarim do not seem to have an outer encasement that must be removed in order to render it rayol achila. Bosh of Shabbos, Rashi refers to the case of the machbed, it's referring to an attachment. Even after it is severed from the tree, nonetheless, still you have to attach it from its makom chibura, and that severance is considered to be the malacha of disha. Good? So whereas Tosus writes the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel in the case of the Tamarim, we're talking about the klipa ha'olyona, Boshub Shat Narash that we have it is no, mefarei katmar min ha'mirchabadas, referring to simply separating it from its attachment, and that is considered to be its malacha. Tosus again assumes that Rashi, Pashup Shah, Tosus had a different girsin Rashi, was referring simply to removing it from the tree itself, and that Tosus says that should be a problem of kotza, that should not be a case of mefarik, which is gosh. Pashup Shah, the girsin we have in Rashi, minhag v'vado shala, is realizing that difficulty, and Rashi writes that there is a further detachment above and beyond severing it from the ground, and again, that's what we'll have to explain. At what point in time is that considered to be normal derech achila? At what point in time is that considered to be a malacha daraisa of disha? Even one, for example, harvests grape, right? The grape still has an attachment, but we normally don't assume that picking the grape from the cluster, from the eshkol, is considered to be a malacha daraisa. But here Rashi writes that's the case when it comes to tamarim. In terms of this machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Ashi, so again, both agree that this should be subject to Tolesh, should be subject to Mefaresh, but to Mefarek. But again, as Rashi explains, Ein Derech Plisha Bekach, Ein Derech Prika Bekach, certainly this seems to be a clear case of Klachayah. If a person wants to engage in Disha, so he takes a clod of dirt and throws it against the tree, causing it to fall, and thereby the attachment is broken, what exactly is the Shita of Rebaba that argues that here one is chayiv nidaraisa? Do you mean to say there's no halacha of klal chayav when it comes to melachos Shabbos? That certainly can't be the case. Perhaps the chiddush of Rav Papa can be understood in light of what we discussed earlier. We pointed out that in the chiddush of Eglei Talmud of Psif and Oz Gimel, based on what you find in Beis Shmuel, Chelkas Machokek, and Eben Ezer and Kuf Chav Gimel, how is it that you understand the concept of klal chayav relevant to Shabbos, relevant to Shar Dini HaTorah? And there the Gleital pointed out that there are two halachos The din kloli of klal chayav is what the Gleital termed the echus hanifal. Boshav shatna Gleital, that means the totsa, the effect. Sometimes something can be done in such an abnormal way that it results in a different effect. The outcome is different than otherwise it would be. If you were to look at it now, you could tell that this was indeed klal chayav. And sometimes that is not true at all. Looking here and now at the result, there is no way of knowing whether it was accomplished kidarko, whether klal chayav. There, the question of kidarko klal chayav is in terms of the term that Gleital uses is the echus hapoel, right, the maisa hamalacha, but not in the nifal, not in its effect. Perhaps in this case as well, shanta pisaladikla, that is a difference not in terms of, right, the echus hanifal. In that instance, there's no perceivable difference in terms of the act of Disha before and after. If you were to see the Tamarim separated from its attachment, you would not be able to tell by looking at it whether this was done Derech Disha or whether it was done in a highly unusual fashion, Klal Chayav. In terms of its effect, that certainly seems Kedarko. But if you were there to witness the Maisa Disha, you would certainly see this is considered to be Klal Chayav. If that's true, you understand the Chiddush of Ravashi very simply. Klal Chayav Melacha Shabbos is not merely determined based on its effect, its result, but also in terms of the Tzuras HaMelacha, the Maisa HaMelacha, that also must be Melechas Machsheves. And in such a case, this is considered to be Klal Chayav, even though you're absolutely right. When you see that something was Niktza or Nitlosh, there's no way of knowing whether a person climbed up and cut it in its normal fashion, or whether he tossed something and it caused it to fall from the tree. The question is again, what does Rav Papa assume? Perhaps one could argue Rav Papa is assuming the halacha b'chala Torah kula, that klal chayav is halacha in terms of echus hanifal, but here where there is no perceivable difference, that's considered to be that which is indeed kedarko. Difficult to assume that Rav Papa would go ad kedei kach to argue that the whole concept of klal chayav regarding Shabbos is only the din kloli b'chala Torah kula. And there is no Meleches Machsheves in terms of the Maisa HaMalacha. For example, when it comes to Malacha of Kosei, so Ksiva Biyad Smol B'chalot Rakula, right, the get would be kosher. And on Shabbos, right, that would not be Meleches Machsheves. There's no indication that Rav Papa would disagree with that Chiddush. Rav Papa certainly agrees that the Tzuras HaMalacha, the Maisa HaMalacha, also has to be Kedarko. But perhaps Rav Papa would argue as follows, that in that context, when you're dealing with what we call the Echus HaPoel, maybe one can distinguish between various malachas. Maybe that's the Chiddush that Rav Papa would say. When it comes to certain malachas, perhaps the Meleches Machsheves is simply defined in terms of the Echus HaNifal, its result, and not in terms of the act itself. When it comes to Kodesh, or when it comes, for example, to Disha, so what is the normal derech ha-malach of Disha? One could envision Disha in many different ways. The malach of Disha is simply applying pressure, applying force, in causing, right, the grain itself to be broken. Mi-makom chiduro, mi-beis gidulo. Now, how can that force be applied? That can be done in many different ways. Right, sometimes Disha is done with kli, sometimes possibly Disha can be done beyond. We'll have to discuss. The Chiddush that the Bir Halacha discusses in the very end of Shin Chav Aleph, whether in fact there's a difference between Disha Biyad as opposed to that Bekli. But Disha one could envision either Biyad, Bekli, sometimes it's done Ayyadei Adam, sometimes it's done Ayyadei Behema, sometimes a person will trample on the grain and that will cause it to be severed from its husk. Other times the animals will take a Kli, an apparatus, and run it over the grain, right? And therefore that pressure, that force. So if indeed the destruction of Disha is simply the application of force or pressure to cause that severance, perhaps this is the Chiddush of Rav Papa. In that particular case, how it is that you apply that force or that pressure, that is not bound by the Meleches Machsheves. There isn't a precise Tzuras HaMalacha that would dictate that this is Kedarko and this in fact is Klal Chayav. When it comes to Ksiva, where there the Maisa Ksiva is defined precisely, then one could argue that to deviate from that, that of course is considered to be Klal Chayav. But when it comes to the Malach of Disha, where it just simply means application of force or pressure to cause that result, Perhaps that's the Chiddush of Rabbah, that here Klal Chayat is defined in terms of Eichos Hanifa, not in terms of Eichos HaBoel. Perhaps the same thing is true when it comes to Tolesh as well. If the definition of Tolesh is Oker Dover Migidulo, and that can be done in various forms, that can be Biyad, that can be done Bekli, any manner in which a person is Oker Dover Migidulo. The Chiddush here of Rabbah, at least regarding these two Malachos, is here. The Malachas Machsheves, Kedarkon Klal Chayat, will be defined in terms of Eichos Hanifa, not in terms of Eichos HaBoel. So in general, it certainly is true that Lechesh Shabbos is not necessarily limited to the Din Kloli of Klal Chayat B'Cholat Torah Kula. But perhaps when it comes to certain Malachos, where again, a professional Malachas Umnos is not necessary for the Maisa HaMalacha, then Rabbah would argue Klal Chayat is defined in the broader sense that Din Kloli B'Cholat Torah Kula. But again, the Chiddush of Rav Ashi, who we indeed assume like Lahalacha, is that no, this is considered to be Klal Chayat, even when it comes to such a Malacha, there is a Derech Bisha, there is a Derech Klisha, and if something is done in a highly unusual way, even in terms of the Tzuras HaMalacha, the Maisa HaMalacha, that is considered to be a case of Kila'a Chayat as well. The difficulty in terms of Dish is the following. Exactly how is it that one defines this concept of Piru Ka'ochel Mibes Gidula, separating the bond that links, right, the Ochel and its base Gidula, whether it's an attachment, whether it's a husk, whether it is a type of tote, type of covering that Tosus in fact describes. So we have one example in the Gemara, Mandashada Pisa Ledikla, the case of Timarim in Nechvado Shalom. The Mishnah later in Shabbos in Daf Chuf Beis and Beis discusses the following. What about Pitsias Egozim? If one cracks open a nut, when the Mishnah discusses Kli Shamalach Delisser, Kli Shamalach Delheter, the Sugya and Daf Chuf Beis and Beis, there the Mishnah tells us that no tel adam kurnas lefatseabo esa egozim. A person is allowed to take a kurnos, a type of hammer, in order to crack open a nut. Apparently, you see one thing clearly, that cracking open that nut is considered to be heter gomer, that is mutter, that is not considered to be a malacha of disha. The Mishnah just discusses what type of kli can you indeed use. But tzias egozim, even though one lachor would have said, isn't that a classic example of separating the ochel from its outer encasement? But yet, that's considered to be that which is mutter. Furthermore, the sugya that we mentioned earlier, this is the sugya in Beis Adav, Yibbeis HaMabeis, the case of Molalin Malilos. There the Gemara tells us, HaMolal Malilos Me'erev Shabbos. Rubbing the ears of grain must be done on Erev Shabbos. Seeming to indicate that Molalin Malilos is considered to be a problem, in fact, of Isha. We had mentioned the Chiddush, as that Beital mentions that, according to the Gaonim, this is Mamash HaMalacha Daraisa, Molam Lilos. Perhaps one could argue, as Rashi explains, it's a form of Kilach Hayav. But yet, that relationship, the fact that you are removing the grain from its outer ear, that should be a problem of Nisha. Either it is a problem Daraisa, or maybe one could argue that no, doing so Biyad, through rubbing, that's not considered to be the Derech Disha. But in terms of the fusion that is necessary, that the Gemara seems to say should be included in the Malacha of Disha. The difficulty is the following. The very next Daf in Beitza, on Daf Yud Gimel Beitza, the Gemara describes the following, that in the house of Rav, Mekalfalei Debiso Kase Kase. In the house of Rav, his wife used to peel kosos, cups of barley. And the Gemara says the same thing in Rav Chia. In the house of Rav Chia, Mekalfalei Debiso Kase Kase. So apparently you see that peeling barley kernels is mutter. That's what they did in the house of Rav. That's what in the house of Rav Chia. So in Beis and Daf Yud Gimel Beis, here when it comes to Seorin, so therefore Mekalfa Kase Kase, peeling is mutter. The previous daf, when it comes to Molam Alilos, in principle, that should be Aser. Unless you can argue, no, that Maisadish is considered to be Kalachayat. So what's the difference even between those two cases? That Molam Alilos is something which is Aser, that should be subject to Disha. However, that Klifas Garine Saorim, peeling barley, that is something that the Gemara says is absolutely mutter. So how is it that one distinguishes between those particular cases? This is Tosus' discussion. Tosus raises this in Beis and Daf Gimel. Beis, Divramasko Be'im. What's the difference between Mol and Melilos as opposed to Klifas HaSa'orin? Mol and Melilos, which in principle is Disha, Klifas HaSa'orin, which the Gemara says, Maisarav, that's Heter Gamor. So Tosus writes the following. When it comes to Mol and Melilos, Tosus says that is a case of Litlos Min HaShibolin. That is considered to be Asur. We're talking about rubbing the ear of grain to remove that grain from Shibolin, from its outer husk. That is considered to be a problem of Disha. When it comes to Seorin, there Tosa says, Kvar nitlishu min hashibolin, that is a later stage. There, the barley was already removed from its outer husk. However, Aval od hein deklipos nechitzona. But there is a further covering. Removal of that covering is heter gamur. That's what Tosa says. The difference in Mol and Melilos is that's min hashibolin. Mashenki, when it comes to Seorim, that is min klipasan. And that is why one is Aser, the other one is considered to be Mutar. What exactly is that difference? That's what we'll have to discuss. No? In our Gemara, right, the case of Timarim, that is considered to be Chayav Nidaraisa. Even though Rabbeinu Shmuel writes that you're also, you're dealing with the klipa, right, of the tamarim. Even furthermore, the Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph raises the following kasha. Why is it, as we discussed, Hainu Zora, Hainu Bara, Hainu Merachi, why is it that these are considered to be three different double smalafas? Aren't they all B'dedamime? We discussed them, Machlokes Bavi and Yerushalmi. The Gemara answers here, you're absolutely right. Even though they are all similar, removal of Ochel Psoles, nonetheless, Chashivle is considered to be independent Malachos because in the Mishkan it was done independently. Kol Milsadavi Mishkan, even though the Damile, nonetheless, Chashivle. The Gemara asks the following Kasha, Velev Shavnami Kotesh. Shouldn't this also be true of Kotesh as well? Rashi writes, what is Kotesh? You have Chit and you have wheat? And it is pounded in order lahasir klipasan, in order to remove its shell. So Rashi says, why isn't that considered to be an independent malacha? And Rashi writes, that is not an independent malacha, but rather that is part of disha, Rashi says. No? And that's what the Gemara argues, that no, tisha is not always essential. Shekein ani yochel pito b'loksisha. Good. So Rashi gives you another example. Why isn't Kotesh considered to be that which is Aser? And it's not an independent Iser, that's clear from the Gemara, but what is it? Maybe one could have argued it's a form of Tochen. No. Rashi says that Kotesh is a form of Dash. After all, you are separating the grain from its klipa, from its husk. So exactly where do you draw the line? When it comes to the case of Seorin, that's what Tosus points out in Beitz and Daf Yud Gimel Beis. That is considered to be removal of klipasan hachitzona, which is heter gamur. Here, this is considered to be a malacha daraisa. When it comes to psiyas egozim, that the Mishnah tells us, that's mutar l'chachila. And yet, when it comes to the case of tamarim, that certainly is not the case as well. How is it that you understand the difference between these cases? Furthermore, the Raman, the very end of Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yates, writes the following. Osir liklof shumin u betzalin. A person is not allowed to peel shumin or betzalin. A person is not allowed to peel garlic or peel onions. However, the Rama writes the following: that's only kishikolif lahaniach. B'med Rama murim, when a person is peeling it for later use, avolechol alter shor. But for immediate use, it's mutter. If the Rama writes that there's a difference between the altar as opposed to lachar zman, so what does that tell you? The Rama is only concerned with one problem, and that's a problem of borer. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkot Gimel. No? If the Rama distinguishes between the altar as opposed to lachar zman, that's a borer problem. Makes sense. You're removing a peel, you're removing the psoas mitoch ochel, that's borer. If it will be a problem of disha, so in such a case, there is no heter of la'alter when it comes to dash. You don't find in the Gemara that dish is a problem, but as long as it's la'alter, it's considered to be mutter. Our Gemara that says shut up Yisla Dikla is only lacharzman. If a person would do it for a immediate use, that's considered timutter. The sugi and beitz and daf yed bay is monam alilos. That's only again lacharzman. Alter is considered timutter. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah comments simply. The Rama must be assuming that there is no problem of disha. There's only a problem of borer, and therefore the Rama writes the solution is lauter. Why is there no problem of dash? Apparently, one must assume that this case of peeling shuman, peeling betzalim, is similar to those cases that we suggested that are mutter, similar to what Tosos writes in Beitz and Daf Yud Gimel and Beis regarding the case of saorin. But what's the difference in saorin as opposed to chitin? What's the difference in egozim as opposed to tamarin? Why should you assume that one is heter gomer and one is considered to be a malacha darbes? That's very unclear. If you look in the Prima Gemara, Primagonim is found in Shin Yates, in the Eish El Avram Sivkot Meches. Primagonim writes that in many of these cases as mentioned, there lo arminan dahavi mefarik. That can't be a mefarik problem. There's no heter of alter at all. Why is that true? Primagonim writes the following: debotel klipa hadaka hamechuberes lagabe haochem. If you have a klipa daka, a very thin husk or covering, which is mechuberes, which is flush, bound to the pri, it's considered to be batel to the pri. And therefore, that is not the malacha of disha. If you have a klipa daka ha-mechuberes, that's the lashon of prima gadim, daka mechuberes, there it's all considered to be part of the pri, and therefore there's no disha problem at all. That apparently is the case, right, of all those examples where it is considered timutter. When Tosa says when it comes to saorim, it's not a problem of disha because you're just dealing with the klipa, so therefore the Prima Gadim writes that's a form of klipa daka hamukhuberes. In such a case, that's not a disha problem at all. The same is found in Rabbi Kiveger. In the Agos Rabbi Kiveger, the very end of Shin Chaf Aleph, where Rabbi Kiveger again is bothered by this very same issue. Why is it that the Ramah discusses klipa shumin v'mubetzalim just in terms of borer with the heter of alta, and not in terms of disha, where categorically it should be asa? Again, Rabbi Kiveger writes shaha klipa b'teila lahapri. That form of klipa is in fact considered to be batel. If this is true, so one then would have the following difficulty. The Prima Gadim himself, there, when he discusses this Hiddush, is bothered by the Ramah. The Ramah writes that removal of the outer coating of garlic, that is considered to be a borer problem, which is mutal alta. So the Prima Gadim is bothered by the following. Garlic, as you know, has several different encasements, several different coverings. There is a chlipa ha-chitzona that the garlic has, and a chlipa ha-pnimi. And if you take a look at a clove of garlic, it's considered to be a single mass with an outer husk. When you remove that, now you have individual pieces, each one that is covered by its own husk, its own covering, and then you get to the pri, you get to the garlic itself. Prima Gadim writes the following: what about that outer layer, that outer peel? Where you remove that, that is not something which is a klipa daka ha-mechuberes. That is not considered to be a klipa which is mechuber lepri at all. So the Prima Gadim suggests an important chiddush, that removal of that outer garlic peel, that's disha. Only the removal of the inner peel, which is the klipa hadaka ha-mechuberes, only that is considered to be just a borer problem, that is mutal alta. That's a very great kiddush. Right, when you bar the garlic cloves in the store, right, it looks like a Hershey's Kiss, you remove the outer layer, no, that would be usur, according to the Prima Gadim. No, the Ramah then is very misleading. No, the Ramah tells us that you're allowed to remove the peel of the garlic alta, he's only referring to that inner layer, but the outer layer, in fact, would be considered usur. That's the suggestion of the Prima Gadim. You require a klipa daka ha-mechuberes. Even further examples. Let's assume, for example, one is shelling peanuts. Well, a according to Bima Gavim, that should be Halacha D'Araisa. Just simply breaking open the shell of a Bina should be Halacha D'Araisa Bisha. Is that considered to be a Klipa Daka HaMechuberes? No, certainly not. One could question whether that's called a Klipa Daka. Certainly is not Mechuberes. Right, when one shakes, right, the peanut in its shell, you hear the pre moving back and forth. There is no direct form of chibur. That doesn't meet the requirement of the Prima Gadim Abikiveger, that disha only applies, right, in certain instances, unless it's a klipa mechuberes, then it's mutter. So that would mean any outer peel which is not mechuber the pre, or anything which is not mechuber, that also is considered to be an isser of disha. That will be true according to the Prima Gadim, according to the Kiddush of Rabbi Kiveg. What other possibility then would there be? If you look in the Gleitel, and you look in Shvisas HaShabbos, right, they give a very different understanding entirely. The Gleitel is found in the Lach of Dash, on the very end of Sifkot and Yir Aleph. Shvisas HaShabbos is found in the Klalei Meleches Dash in Hosei. And this is also the approach of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasam, right, in Perek Gimel, in footnote Sadi Beis. Let's start with a certain mashal, but maybe this is even more than just a mashal. More than a mashal. You have peiros that are growing. One is allowed to partake of those peiros, achila sarai. Cut them, you pick an apple off of a tree. As of yet, Poshav Shah, there is no Isser of Tevel. When does the Isser Tevel kick in? Where? There's Nisr Darais of Achila, not only Achila's Keva, Achila's Arai. Right, the Isser Tevel only begins La'achar Gemar Meleches Apri. You need Meruach. Only after it is processed. Person will just take an ear of corn and pick it and eat it. There's no Isser of Tevel. Because as of yet, it is not considered to be a Gemar Peirin. And therefore, there's no halacha of Tevel. The Chovas HaFrashas Chumas and Maestros, the Isser Tevel, is only when you have the Gemar Melech HaSafri. And that is Disha in Meruach. Now that's what Disha accomplishes. Right, you'll thresh. And then you'll take all of the peiros and you'll put it into a kri, into a mound, meruach. Why should that be relevant to the concept of tevel? The answer is because once that indeed has been performed, that is considered to be the gemar melech hasafri. This is what the Rambam describes in Perek Gimel, halacha pas maaser, halacha aleph, halacha yud gimel. The Rambam explains that the isser tevel, the chiyuv hafrasha, is only when you have the Gemar Melech HaSapri, and then the Rambam and Gimel, here Gimel tells you when it comes to crops, that's what the Disha, that's what the Niruach accomplishes. That's considered to be its Gemar Melecha, the Gemar Peirin. So I ask you the following Kiddush. You mean to say that if you have an orange, until it is peeled, there's no concept of tevel? Is that true? If disha, if meruah is necessary in order to generate a chalos tevel, in order to require a mitzvah safrasha, peeling is necessary. So, without any hagaros, one must obviously just simply distinguish. There are different types of peel, there are different forms of peel. It's not considered to be tevel d'araisa unless you remove the husk, but it is tevel d'araisa, even an orange is not peeled. Clearly that tells you, just simply in terms of hilchos zrayim, that there are peels and there are peels. Now, sometimes, right, if the object is not peeled, that is not considered to be the gemar melech hasaperi. And sometimes, that certainly is not true. The orange is considered to be complete, whole, intact, even though the orange was not yet peeled. That's just the way that it is now. When it comes to, right, halachos of tevel, Pashav Shav, we'll have to see where to draw the line. That's exactly the case when it comes to the malacha of Dishan Shabbos. The malacha of Dishan Shabbos, just as we suggest when it comes to Tochin. Tosa says the Chiddush that you should realize Tochin doesn't apply to Ochlin, Dafka Silka, but not Shamini Ochlin. And the Chiddush of the Rosh, that Tochin doesn't apply to many Ochel. But the Chiddush of the Rosh, HaTochin HaSeyerek, Dafka, Levashlo. What do they all have in common? Tosa, the Silka, the Rosh, the Rambam, Levashlo. They understood Tochin in terms of the processing. No? For example, right, as the Kesem Mishnah quoted Rabbi Moshe HaKohen, if something is mamish nechal k'mo shulchai, that's not called tochei. If something has to be processed, tchina is part of that processing. Whether you hold this is true when it comes to tochein or not. No, Tosus disagrees. We saw the Kuki Dalma Beis. Tochein means chaticha sayerek, even if the yerek mamish is right lachilo, just breaking it down, it's called tochein. Just like when it comes to borer. But what about when it comes to dishan? Where do you draw the line between the removal of the house of the shell, that is considered to be a problem of mefarik, and where do you say that is not? Here certainly that plays a role. If you'll argue that the pri is already nigmar, so therefore there's no longer any disha. If you'll argue that as of yet it is not tevel, as of yet it is not the gemara meleches hapri, in such an instance, that where you can speak about Disha, Meruach, as of yet there is no Isra of Teva. Very mistaken that that should be a marked difference. Now the question is the following. Where do you draw the line? Right, what peel do you consider to be essential for the Gemara Peri? In which do you argue that no, that's considered to be irrelevant? Perhaps that's exactly the Chiddush. The type of encasement or coating or peel which is normally removed by sudden, part of the harvesting process, that is considered to be part of the Melacha Safri. It's not yet Tevel. That is the Melacha Nisha. However, if you're dealing with a type of peel or encasement that Regilim Mahavim came abayis, that's how the finished product is brought into your home. When you purchase the oranges, you're not going to purchase the peeled orange. So the removal of that peel is not the Meleches Disha. That's mamish, considered to be absolut achila. It's not la'alter as opposed to la'achar zman. But is this considered to be the Gemar Peri? That's the Chiddush. If you have a klipa, which is regilim lahavim kach labayis, and the derech is lahasirah b'shas achila. So that's not something that adayin on nigmar malachto. The pri is considered to be a complete pri. That is not subject to disha. Mashenkin, if you have something, the outer hole, the husk, that certainly is not the case. So therefore, good. That's exactly our case when it comes to tomorrow. When it comes to removal of the Torah min ha-mikvah del shama, that is done to Sunday. That is not done by bayis. The removal of that attachment, that's not considered to be the derech achila. That's considered to be the derech disha. That is done by Sunday. The tamarim are considered to be incomplete until that is removed. That is disha. So you'll ask me, what's the difference between removing the tamarim from its cluster as opposed to removing a grape from its cluster? Right, that's exactly the difference. When it comes to grapes, so normal, a person will pick the grape from its eshkol, right? B'shas achila. The pri is already considered to be that which is nigmar. That is not a malacha disha at all. That pashut shat is that tosus and daf yikimu aveis. What's the difference between the type of klitzos tosus was referring to? Where tosus says there's a difference between mold and melilos as opposed to the klipa sasaorim. So the prima gadim said that one is a klipa daka hamachuberes. Poshav shat, one could argue, according to Eglekal, according to Shvisas Hashabbos, that no, that the derech achilas saorim was to leave that outer shell, not the shibolin, not the husk, but to leave what Tosfos calls the klipa chitzona on the saorim. In earlier times, right, they used to eat the saorim. And it was not normal to peel it, as one would peel the banana al kana machila. That's not considered to be a malacha of dish at all. Mashenk, and you're talking about the outer shibolim, molim alilos. That also says that's not the derech achila, that is the derech disha that is part of the processing. Of course, that is considered to be asur. The same thing, the difference between tamarim as opposed to the case of anavim. Rabbi Kibeir, Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yotes, we mentioned earlier, Sivkat Meches, is very bothered that the Gemara in Beis Sedaf Yud Gimel Amud Beis says that kiluf hasorim is mutter. It's Tosfos' case. Kiluf hasorim is mutter. That's what they used to do in the house of Rav Rokia. Shavi Kivega writes, how is that different from our Gemara? Ayindal, Amar Aleph, Ketita, Kesiz HaShchitim. How is it different? Kotesh when it comes to Titim, Kiluf when it comes to Saorim, Rabbi Kiva leaves us as a tzarachi and Rabbi Kivega. What is the difference between the two? According to the Sekhar Tal, Shvisas HaShabbos, the difference is the following. That Klipa Sorim is not the Gemara Pri. There was already Nigma Mikodim, once the outer husk was removed. Kotesh, when it comes to Chitim, that's what? The Derech Achila? That is revealed at Yom Kaf Labayis? Of course not. That's the processing of the grain, Tisha. That is a problem of Dosh. Garine chitim, that certainly is not the Gemar Peri, and therefore, of course, it's still subject to the Mafadisha. That's what Rashi says here. This Kodesh is not a Tolkien problem, this Kodesh. Right? There's a problem of Disha. The Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha, the very end of Simen Shin Chaf Aleph. Quotes this kasha v'gvegen. Bir Halacha writes it's a fella, this kasha. Now that Rabbi Kivega should leave as a tzarchi and the difference between the sugi and Beitz and the sugi and Shabbos. Bir Halacha goes as far as to argue this cannot be Rabbi Kivega. This must be a Talmud Torah that left this kasha as a tzarchi. How could it be? The Bir Halacha writes, very end of Shin Chapala, to Ramas Chol Alter, what's the difference between them? A very great chiddush, right? Yad as opposed to Kli. Very great Kiddush. The Sugyan Beis Daf Yud Gimel, the Bisod Rav Chia, the Bisod Rav, that was Kolev Biyad. Hashem Kain Ar Gemara, Kotesh. Kotesh is not Biyad. Kotesh is B'Kli. Disha is B'Kli. That's a very great Kiddush, the Rav Chia. The Borer is the case which is the normal separation biyad, removal of the peel biyad is the borer issue, and that's what the Ramah solves with la'alter. Disha is only removal of the kli. That's a very great chiddush. Very great chiddush, the Bir Halacha suggests. If you look, for example, at Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, that certainly is not true. Shulchan Aruch HaRav here is explicit. That even if the av malach of dish is b'kli, but dish b'yad is a tova. Dish b'yad is not heter gomor. Great chiddush, the suggestion of Bir Halacha. Poshav Shah, the difference is exactly right to our point. The Gleital, the Shvisas HaShabbos, what type of outer encasement are you referring to? And that, sometimes it's hard to draw the line. Whether something is removed in advance, whether in fact it's not the case. Mishabru, for example, in Shin Yotes, in Sivkat Mechavale, it's also the Bir Halacha. Ramaskal Bishimi writes the following. What happens if you have a sharvid, a tamil, a pod? So here the Mishnah Berurah writes the following. If ochlin osel, if it's normal to eat together with a pod, then that is not considered to be mefarek at all. That's like mafrid ochel me ochel, ochel nafrisu. We'll have to discuss again that sugya of chole. But the Gemara made it very clear, if it's ochel ochel, it's in such a case a single min, that is not considered to be a problem of yishon. So therefore, if the pea, for example, is contained in a pod, removal of the peas from the pod would depend. If it's considered to be something which is lach, davar sha'ochlin osel, in such a case, that's not considered to be a case of mefarek. If, however, that is not true, if the pod is something which is a davar yavesh, normally that is not eaten, in such a case, that will be nisur of yishon. Snow peas, for example, right? They're very soft and moist. There, people usually eat the pod. That would not be a problem of dash. If you're dealing with a regular pod of peas, in such a case there, the shell is a thicker, harder shell, in which case, then removal of the pea is considered to be, right, a problem of dishu daraisa. Even though it is clear that when one separates one ochel from another ochel, as the Mishnah Berurah mentions, no? Something is contained in a pod, and it's lach, and therefore ochel also. So ochel mitoch ochel is not considered to be a problem of disha. But clearly, this applies to ochlin, not when it comes to slita. We discussed earlier, this is what Tosus explains in Beitz and Daflam and Amadalev, that regarding schita, schita is a tolda, not an av malacha. And Tosus comments that schita can be a tolda of one of two different avos, depending on the particular case. Sometimes it is a tolda of dash, and Tosus writes in Beitz and Daflamet, sometimes schita is a tolda of malabe. Tosus writes the following kiddush. In order to label schita, squeezing out the liquid, as a tolda of malabe, there you have to deal with mayim. It has to be derech nikayon, as you would normally do in the laundering process. Even though it's limited, mayim derech nikayon, but Tosus explains that even applies if the mayim are hochem nivud. Clearly in schita, a person doesn't desire to utilize the water. There is no need when it comes to malabim to utilize the davar hanisfa. When it comes to disha Tosos rice, there you're dealing with yayin, meperos. It's broader, but there it's only in a case of tzarech lamashke. If the mashke is holech li'ibud, in such a case that is not considered to be disha. In the earlier shiurim, we mentioned there are two possibilities of why that should be true. Why is it in a case of mashke shaholech le'ibud that that is not considered to be dash? One possibility was what the Shita Kovetzis writes in Ksuvas and Avav, name of the Ramban. This is also what we mentioned, the Tosis and in Gimel days, that that is not disha. The definition of disha is tzarech l'mashke. You need the ochel. Right, you need the liquid, you need that which is extracted. If you don't need that which is extracted, it is not called dash. Just like Zomer B'Tzarech L'Eitzin also says, if you don't need the Eitzin, it is not called Tzira. If you don't need the Davar HaNischa, it is not considered to be Disha. That's the definition of the Malacha. And the Tosis that you saw that goes as far as to argue that this is not a Machlokes, this would even be true according to Rabbi Yehuda that says, Malachshina Tzirik L'Guf Eschayim. This is not, right, that tzrich leguf in the extraneous sense. This is what disha is. Utilizing the ochel, utilizing the mashke. We mentioned another possibility, right, based on that ran, and of mem aleph med aleph and dapi harif, that the reason disha requires tzarech lamashke in the case of shchita is because shchita is a tolda. And a tolda, shino tzrich leguf, cannot be asim, both according to Rabbi Shimon, even according to Rabbi Yud as well. That was how Rav Nachum Zembin Tolzos Chaim in Vav Tes, and also that was the Gilei Nashas and the Yerushalmi, here in our parak, Zayin Beis, understood that Chiddush of the Ran. That maybe you can argue that your chayiv when it comes to an av malacha, even if it's not done for the same purpose, because what you did was found in Mishkan. However, if you're only dealing with schita as a tolda, so in such a case, polishing a tzrich lekufa is not going to be chayiv. Again, that would revert back to our question of schita zeisim vanavim. Is that an av? Is that a tolda? Was it found in the Mishkan? Was it not found in the Mishkan? Maybe it's all right. So again, that depends on the issue of Tavodas HaKabanos, the Bina Mishkan. So just as Mifare is Olcha Mibes Gidulo, the same thing applies when it comes to Schita. Asochin Es HaMashka Mibes Gidulo, that also is considered to be a case of Mifarek, which is the Tod of Dosh. Why is that true? Because even though there's no Mifarek in Olchel Min HaOchel, Mifarek is Olchel Min HaPsoles, but here you're not dealing with Olchel Mitoch HaOchel. Here you're dealing with a Mashka Mitoch HaOchel, no? Here the Srita creates, it's Moli Dover Chodosh. That is considered to be Mifarek. If the pot is Rei Lachila and the pea is Rei Lachila, so therefore that is all called Ochel, separating the pea from the pot is called Mefarek Ochel Min HaOchel, that is not the Malach of Mefarek. Disha requires Mefarek Ochel Mitoch HaPsoles or Mashka Mitoch HaOchel. And therefore, Sita Saperos at times will be a Toda of Dosh as well. This is a Mishnah in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Gimelmud Beis, where the Mishnah tells us that Ein Schot Sochtin Asaperos Lo Hotzim Yamashkin. One is not allowed to engage in Srita, and that's what Rashi writes explicitly, because this is Mefarek, which is a Tolda of Dosh. It's in this context that the Shofar Acharav writes, as Shofar Acharav mentioned, is in Tavchuf Yud, in Hufuz Yantid, in the Kutras Afra. Or he writes that if it's done Biyad, Srita which is done Biyad, that's considered to be a tolda. If it's done b'kli, the olive press, the wine press, there, the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes, maybe that's part of the av malach of disha. That sugya, beginning with kuf mem gimel beis, extending to kuf mem hay, that's next sugya you have to go through. The Gemara distinguishes between three different types of peros when it comes to sleep. Here the Gemara suggests the following Kiddush. When it comes to Zeisim Ba'anavim, that is considered to be the Malach HaDaraisa. That's where you assume that Srita is a Tolda of Disha. What about when it comes to other Minim, other than Zeisim Ba'anavim? You're dealing with Tusim Verimonim, berries or pomegranates, or other such Saperos? Meaning that it is something Shuvit Fa'amim, that only at times soaked in Asam. That the Gemara writes is forbidden midrabana. That's not Schitas Peros midaraisa. And then the Gemara continues and says, and there are certain types of Peros, She'ain Regilos Nesoftam, that normally people are not soaked at all. Rishin gives us an example. Pigin, in those cases, that is considered to be mutter. Those are the three different possibilities that Gemara has. Sometimes schita is mutter v'chatila, if it is something which is normally not nista. If at times, no, tusim v'rimonim, the Gemara says that's the issur d'rabbana. Zeisim v'anavim is considered to be the issur d'raisa. That's the braisa the Gemara quotes in the Kuf Mem Aleph, where the braisa tells us that Tani de Menashe, the Bar Torah, Ein Chayev Ela Al Drisha Zeisim Va'anavim Bilvan. The Issa Daraisa of Schitas Peros is only when it comes to Zeisim Va'anavim. On that very same daf, Kuf Mem Aleph, the Gemara quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, we discussed this earlier. That was the case of Kvashim. Shlakos, something which is pickled, or something which is vegetables that are cooked, that are boiled. Rabbi Yochanan said the following, if a person will be sochet kvashim, if he's doing it legufan, you're right, not forbidden midaraisa. But lenemehen, if he's doing it in order to extract, right, it's liquid, to utilize liquid, then chayim chatas. That's the Kiddush Rabbi Yochanan. Even in the case of kvashim ushlakos, lenemehen, chayim chatas. So how do you understand these two sugyas? No, same down. The Gemara says, tell you, the Menashe, the Dvar Torah, when it's only chayiv for schit in the case of Zeisim Vanavim, not in Tusim Vremonim, and certainly not in the case of Prishim, Mutul Chachila. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, when it comes to the case of Kvashim, then you're chayiv chatos. So the Rashba writes the following Kiddush, there's Dvar Maskol Rav. Rashba writes that according to Rabbi Yochanan, what we just said is not true. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that you're chayiv chatas for kvashim and shlakos. So who hadin betusim v'rimonim? The same thing would apply to other media perils as well. In other words, that Rabbi Yochanan is against that brisa. Tani b'menashe. That's the chiddush that the Rashba writes. Rabbi Chananel and then the. On the very bottom of Kuf Mem Hei Amad Aleph, writes that that's not true. These two memros, the Brais of Him and Asher, and the Chiddush of Yochanan, are not at odds. And this is what the Tosus Rid explains as well. That even Rabbi Yochanan would be bemoded. When it comes to Shar Min Yeperos, that there is no Chiyuv Chatos. So if that's true, if the Chiyuv Chatos is only Zeisim V'anavim, how in the world can Rabbi Yochanan suggest that Shlokos, if one squeezes the Shlokos in order to extract its water, when it's Chiyuv Chatos? So the Tosus Rid writes the following Kiddush. Rabbi Yochanan assumed that Shlokos are different, because after all, the Isbuhu Mashke, the Asume Alma. Because in the case of shlakos, the fluid was not its juice. There, the liquid, the fluid, came externally. A person takes a vegetable and he pickles it and soaks it and soaks it and soaks it, and some of that external fluid is absorbed. So Rabbi Yochanan says, for that one is chayim mishum dash. The three halachos we mentioned are completely different. There we're asking the following question. Separating an ochel from its juice, is that considered to be disha or is it not? In other words, is its juice part of ochel or is its juice independent of ochel? That depends. Those are the halachos. Tanur Benashe says that midaraisa, when it comes to zeisim and anavim, the yayin and the shemen are independent of the ochel, and therefore that is disha daraisa. When it comes to the shlakos, of course the liquid is independent of the yerek, because mashka osu alma. That's interesting chiyuv, no? According to this chiddush of Tosfos Rid, since the mashka is osu alma, that's more of a reason to be chayiv mishum dash. We saw in the earlier shiurim, right, the Rashi that suggested the exact opposite within the sheet of Shmuel. No? Shmuel, Inachinami disagrees. Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel says when it comes to the case of Kvashim, Afilu Lemeimehem Pater. Even if you squeeze it out to utilize its juice, you're still Pater. Why are you Pater? Why is that a prophetisha? Rashi writes Shlo Godol Besocha. Because that was not a natural unit. No? It's a fascinating Kiddush, no? The Tosos Rid's understanding of Yochanan Shita and Rashi's understanding of Shmuel are exact opposites. Saras Afuchos. If the liquid is not part of the natural unit, is that more of a reason that one should be Chayim Mishum Disha? Or less of a reason? Rashi says, Shlo Gadol B'Socham. That's not considered to be Dash at all. No? That's what we utilize when we discuss the case of Ein Tochein Acher Tochein. The Malacha Daraisa is breaking down the natural unit. The way the Tosfos Rid understands is that the question is the following: do you view the mashke independent of or part of the ochel? That is only a suffik and a chakira when you're dealing with its natural juice. You could argue that the plum and the plum juice are one and the same, and that's why that's not a problem. Mesrita. That's why in the case of Prishin, there's no issue whatsoever. But you can't argue that's true when it comes to kvashim, because in that instance, mashka asame alma. So how can you argue it's part of the ochel? It wasn't part of the ochel. That was something that was indeed completely different. But that's the chiddush of Tanya Rashi again, right? The three different halachas, and the question whether Rabbi Yochanan agrees or disagrees, right, with that possibility. So again, this chiddush of Tanya Rashi, that the malacha daraisa of schita, the tolda of dash, is limited to zeisim va'anavim. Limited to zeisim va'anavim. Why should that be? What's so special about zeisim va'anavim? Rashi and Asugi, Kuf and Hamad Aleph, writes the following. Rashi dravaskal bar Torah. Avo shar drichos. Other types of squeezing and extracting, Rashi says simply, lav or chayubav. That's unusual. That's not derech sita. Zeisim and afim are examples where you have an ochel, where clearly it is for chayu lisko. To squeeze the olives, to extract its oil, to squeeze the grapes, to extract its juice, that's considered to be Urchayu. When it comes to other cases, that certainly is not the instance, and that's why one should be Potter. That's a very important comment, because if that's the uniqueness of Zeisim Vanavim, let's assume for us, Bizman Hazeh, there are many other Peros where certainly is considered to be Darko Mishod, and perhaps that should be similar to what the Gemara calls Zeisim Vanavim as opposed to Tusim Rimonim. If you look in the Chiddushin HaRashba, that's Sugya Kuf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, Rashba writes the following. Zeisim v'anavim when it's chayim. When it comes to Shar Peros, Ruban la'achila hem omdim. Generally speaking, its purpose is for ochel, not for mashke. And vafilu yahim daite v'sachin. And even if a person will take these other peros and will squeeze it clearly with the intent of extracting its juice, bakla dat leitzel kol ha'olam. You need a pre which objectively is omei b'schita. If you have a pre where it's ruban la'achila, even if a person engages consciously in schita, bakla dat leitzel kol adam. Why? Because lo chashiv mashke lochem. Because the pre is referred to as an ochel, is not considered to be mashke. The pre megadim in the hakdama, right, the simin shincha, quotes the Ran, and the pre megadim assumes that the Ran disagrees. The Ran is found, but take a look at the samach aleph and aleph and dafi arif, dirmasel kavashin. With the Ran, maybe he's saying the same thing, but the Prima Gadim suggests he's saying something entirely different. The Ran writes, when it comes to Shar Peros, Hayot Semehem, that which you extract, Lo Choshev Mashke. It's not called a Mashke. Is that the same as Rashi? Different from Rashi? Prima Gadim suggests these are two independent reasons. Rashi says it all depends on the Regilos, on the Deres Chita. Do people normally use this fruit for juice, or do they not? Zeisim v'anavim, absolutely yes. Mashenki, when it comes to other peros, the Ran writes the following: when it comes to shar peros, lo choshev mashke. Maybe one could have argued the Ran means exactly the same thing, right? Since people don't usually use it for schita. Therefore, it is not considered to be, right, a case of extracting a mashka from an ochel. But again, the Ram doesn't mention anything about Ur Chayu or Derek Schita. The Ram just simply says, Lo Choshev Hashem. The Prima Gaonim suggests that maybe the Ram is saying something entirely different. That Zei Siman Avim, the Yod Siman HaZayis, the Yod Siman HaNavim, has an independent status. Shemen, Yayin. Masha'in came when it comes to other peiros. True, one could squeeze it and its juice will ooze out, but the juice is not an independent entity. It doesn't have a separate Chaloshem Ashken. For example, Shem and Yayin are part of the Mashkin in general. Maybe that's in a completely different Kiddush, not just simply, is that Darko, is that Urche, is Rashi writes. But maybe in a certain sense, right, as a Mashal, for example, right, the Yod Siman HaNavim is Kovea Bracha L'Atzmo. Right, Yayin does not just simply have the status of Yod Siman HaNavim. Shemen does not simply have the status of Yotzei Min HaZayis. Maybe that's true, right, when it comes to Mefarek. Mefarek, Ochel Mitoch Ochel, is not called Mefarek. Right, the case we mentioned, the Tamilim, the Shavitim, the peas in a pot, that's Ochel Dafrasu, Ochel Mitoch Ochel. That's not true when it comes to Srita. Because in Srita, it's Mashki Yotzei Davar Chadash. Now, it means that it's Moli Davar Chadash. Maybe that's only true when it comes to Zei Sarav specifically. That's the Prima Gaonim suggests. This we'll have to discuss. Now, after all, if you sound like Rashi or Chayu, then one could certainly broaden the category of Zei Sarav Anavim to something where it is absolutely normal and usual, right, to squeeze for its juice. If you're telling me there's something inherently different between the relationship of Shemen and the Zayis and the Yayin and the Anavim that is not true of other fruits and its juice. So in such a case, maybe that is limited to cases of Zaysim V'Anavim. Okay, so take a look if you haven't yet seen, right, that sugi, starting with Kuf Mem Gimel. Right, then we'll have to discuss again further this issue, and then we'll discuss the Cholik case. Now, what happens when you have a case where clearly there is an independent mashke, right? What about ochel mitoch ochel? When is that considered to be a problem of farik, and when in fact is it?
Is it like part of, because it's part of the shiva mashke?
Yeah, maybe shiva mashke. In other words, you don't find the corn should be